HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint. I am Nasreen Sultana. I am an assistant editor at Mint. I keep a close track of all that is happening in the world of stock markets. You are listening to All Things Markets, where I speak to experts analyzing the big trends moving the stock markets.
The Insurance Amendment Bill 2021 is passed by the Parliament to increase FDI limit in insurance sector to 74% from the current cap of 49%. Besides, country's biggest insurance company, LIC, is gearing up to launch its IPO soon in the market. LIC is also the biggest domestic institutional investor, or DII, which invests directly into equities. So, to understand how these factors will change the landscape of insurance industry in India, I am in conversation with Shyam Sundar Bhatt, CIO of Exide Life Insurance. Hi, Mr. Bhatt. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. Thank you.
So, as we are just about to start FY22, there are two big announcements which probably is going to change the landscape of insurance sector. I would like you to throw some light on how the insurance sector is likely to benefit after the government has proposed to increase the FDI limit to 74% in insurance sector.
Yeah, the proposed increase in FDI limit to 74% in the insurance sector is definitely a welcome step. It has been a long awaited one. And it will be particularly useful for capital infusion in some of the smaller and mid-sized players in the industry, which presently might have been facing this constraint of the FDI limit in order to enhance their competitiveness. So what we feel will happen is that it will enable a healthier competition now in the sector once this limit is formally approved, because it will enable many of the other players other than the top few companies to have a greater solvency, as well as being able to launch more competitive products. And clearly from the perspective of the policyholders, we could see not just better products in terms of pricing and features, but also an increased penetration both in terms of number of policies per household, as well as a greater geographical spread, since all of this does require capital. And therefore, this is a welcome step. As far as some of the larger players which are already listed, for example, it may not really impact this increase in FDI limit may not really impact them as much, given that they are not really at the FDI capped limits presently. Post listing, many of them are well below that limit. So, as I said in the beginning, I think the smaller and mid-sized players are the ones where this measure will clearly benefit more.
Right. So, one is, of course, increase the market size of the insurance sector. And second, right, you're saying that it's going to increase the competitiveness because there could be more schemes for the investors, more schemes.
More competitive products, yeah. In terms of product design, it can become more competitive. And also the investment that is required in terms of spreading, geographically to more rural areas, for example, where clearly penetration is lower. Especially from the private sector perspective, where the spread is not as much, geographical spread, that will increase once, the companies have that extra capital.
Right. Another big announcement is about the insurance sector IPO, the LIC IPO. I know this was an announcement last year budget, but of course the COVID came and everything was delayed, but probably FY22 is what the government is aiming to bring LIC IPO into the market. Because it's a bigger, it is one of the biggest domestic institutional investor in the stock markets and also the biggest insurance company in India and led by government. You think that it's going to kind of create some ripples in the industry, or how is it going to change the industry, the insurance sector?
Right. So from the equity market perspective, clearly what we will see once LIC gets listed, you know, whether in FY22, you know, hopefully, or if not, then maybe FY23. The insurance as a sector in terms of market cap, or as a percentage of the total market cap of the listed stocks, clearly will increase given the scale and market cap at which you know, LIC is likely to go public with. Since we already have now a few of the insurance players with reasonably large market caps, and this, you know, could be significantly larger. So what we would see is that not just the size, but what is different also is that in terms of product profile, LIC has a product profile which is quite different from the existing listed players, given that it's a significantly participating product kind of a portfolio. Along with every listing of insurance companies, clearly there are a lot of public disclosures which are required. So it will provide good insights for analysts once LIC gets listed in terms of the various financial parameters that go with, you know, this kind of a product profile. So two things I would say. One is the fact that this sector will get more attention than what it is today, especially from the foreign investors' perspective, because it will become a very large investable sector in India when one combines it with some of the few players which are already listed. And secondly, we'll have far more information from the analysis perspective for insurance analysts to understand the sector better.
Right, more transparency basically.
Right. From the government's perspective, in terms of the budgetary targets for disinvestment, once LIC does get listed, I think it will also provide a pipeline, not just for that financial year when it gets listed, but possibly for subsequent few financial years as well, because we could see subsequent tranches of small disinvestments happening once the IPO happens. And given the scale of market cap, this could comprise a large component of the annual disinvestment figure every year, you know, in subsequent budgets as well.
Right. As we speak, we are almost at the closing door of FY21. It has been an unprecedented year for many reasons. Of course, COVID has knocked off a lot of businesses. What is your analysis? How will FY22 look like as far as the market goes?
So, as we all know, the way FY21 started and the way FY21 is ending, you know, from the equity markets perspective, are clearly poles apart in terms of the kind of sentiment and the outlook that one had for the markets, in terms of fears, concerns, as well as the fact as to the uncertainty which was there as far as where the economy is going and where the earnings are going. So clearly, one did not anticipate that our economy will bounce back so soon as it has in the last few months. And one had also not forecast the kind of earnings upgrades that we would be seeing, the ones which we've been seeing in the last few months. So as we go forward, the longer term outlook for our market is more positive than before. In the initial part of the bounce back that we saw last year, we were definitely cautious because it was primarily driven by foreign liquidity more than fundamentals. But there are two factors which have made us incrementally positive in the last couple of months from the future outlook perspective. The first is, as I mentioned, in terms of number of earnings upgrades, because we've never seen this kind of a number as far as earnings upgrades are concerned in the last so many years. But the bigger, longer term driver, has been the recent budget. And I'll briefly talk upon a few points which has caused us to become more positive, though the markets, you know, have already reached higher levels over the last few months. But going forward, why we think we should be more positive than before. Two things. One is the fact that the government has indicated its focus on growth through borrowings, not just for this financial year, because initial enthusiasm post the budget, obviously, because of the increase in capital expenditure and the higher fiscal deficit that has been projected for FY22. But the fact that the fiscal deficit will reach 4.5% only by FY26, the glide path which was announced by the finance minister, is actually indicating that the government will prefer to keep borrowing and investing on growth for the next 3 years, even after FY22. And this single aspect clearly has changed the outlook from the equity markets perspective.
FY21, most likely we are going to close with around 70% gains for both the benchmark, Sensex and Nifty. And this is probably going to be the best fiscal in last 11 years. You think FY22 will be a repeat of this kind of robust gains? Or you think that the gains, they would be gains, but probably this would not be as much as what we saw in FY21?
If you know, 70% kind of gains are definitely not what one would expect in consecutive years in any market, so to say. So when we say that we are positive on the markets, clearly we think that we will have returns which have been far better than what we've seen in cumulative year periods.
You also mentioned about the earnings upgrade, the kind of earnings upgrade that we have seen after December quarter, and that has led to the kind of confidence that you have on the market's performance in FY22. But at the same time, we are kind of staring at the second wave of COVID-19, and there is a lot of concerns. I know it has not spread to our many states as we speak. It's Maharashtra and few other states who are getting into lockdown mode and probably partial lockdown. You think this restriction of activities or business operations may have an impact on the earnings going forward? And how much will the second wave of COVID-19 may impact on the markets, if at all we kind of hit there?
Seeing accelerated vaccination across the country. So to that extent, the concerns are a bit lesser than what they were when the first wave struck us. So clearly that is a concern, and we are seeing it possibly reflected in the markets, which have given up some of the gains in the last few days. Another reason why the markets have appeared a bit nervous in the last few days also has been with the kind of rising interest rates and inflation predictions in the US, because that is expected to impact foreign flows to emerging markets later during the year. And given that we had foreign flows, which had been the sole driver, so to say, of the up move in the equity market for a larger part of FY21, a reversal of FII flows or a slowdown in FII flows clearly is another risk which the markets could face.
DIIs participate in the stock markets now, because FY21, no doubt we had a robust rally, but DIIs were somewhere missing in action. At least till the half of the year, at least till August, they were net buyers, but. As we move towards the end of FY21, they have been net sellers. They sold highest ever monthly outflow in December. What do you think? Will DI start participating in the stock market's rally in FY22?
Right. So the net selling which we have seen from DIIs, which has been primarily from mutual funds in the last year, because my sense is insurance companies have been small net buyers. So it's been largely the redemption-led selling from domestic equity funds, which has contributed to the negative figure that we have seen from DIIs in the last year. And I think if we have to try and analyze as to what has led to the kind of outflows from equity mutual fund schemes, which in turn led to them selling in the market, I think it's partly been the direct equity investing by retail investors especially in the first few months of the lockdown. We've seen possibly investors, and that has been the phase when the markets kept rallying. So you would have had retail investors being encouraged also by the success in direct retail investing. Secondly, you might have had genuine liquidity needs by investors, partially because of job losses or salary cuts. And in recent months, we might also have seen some reallocation to other classes like real estate, which has seen a big recovery in some of the metros. So all these factors, possibly any one or more of these factors, could have led to the outflow from equity mutual funds. Now, what could change going forward in FY22? If we see the absolute levels at which the markets are today compared to what they were last year in March or earlier on this year in April, when the bounce back just began, clearly the valuations are very different from what they were at that time. And therefore, from the perspective of risk that is involved in terms of direct equity investing or individual stock investing by investors, the risk levels today are significantly higher than what they were in April or May last year or June, for example, you know, the first phase when the markets started bouncing back. And therefore, at higher levels, the possibility is that we will have investors coming back into the institutional category, that is, they'll invest in ULIP schemes, they'll invest in equity mutual funds, given that the need may be felt to diversify the risk or limit the risk given the levels at which the markets are presently.
Okay, on that note, thanks a lot, Mr. Bhatt, for that perspective and insights. I hope FY22 is as great for stock markets as it was in FY21. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
For feedback, you can write to me at nasreen.s@lifemint.com, or you can reach out to me on Twitter at Nasreen Story. You can also reach out to us at HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And to listen to more podcasts like this, you need to log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.